Neil Harrington is joining us here on MSO News Sports, candidate for mayor of Salem, a job that he once held before. Neil Harrington, welcome. Thanks so much for taking some time to join us once again.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
We enjoy talking with the candidates, getting the information out to our listeners for the election coming up, the general election, now the special general election, if you will, after the primary. And I have two questions that I'd like to ask, and then we are allowing the candidates to pick up on a couple of issues that they believe are important. So let's get mine out of the way first. Give our listeners an update on your campaign. I know you were going to be planning to spend more time out on the campaign trail following the primary election, but what's happened so far in the last several weeks, and what's ahead in the week or two ahead here?
Well, since the preliminary election on March 28th, I've been taking some of my vacation time for work to do additional door knocking. I was only able to do somewhat sporadic door knocking before that, but I am out knocking on doors almost every single day now, and particularly later in the afternoons. I'm leaving work early and using some of my vacation time, and I'm having the opportunity to go throughout the city and meet people, see what's on their mind, particularly talk to people who may have supported one of the three candidates in the preliminary election who didn't make it into the final, and to really get out into the neighborhoods and to listen to the many voices of people who have things to say about a variety of different issues, and in some cases feel that their voices have not been heard, or they have not been listened to, or they have not been included in many discussions that have largely revolved around the vitality of the downtown and tourism and things like that. So I think when you get out into the neighborhoods, at least in my experience, you'll hear a variety of different concerns expressed about issues that haven't been making too much of the headlines, but are very important in terms of quality of life for people and where they live with their families. So that has been a major part of what I've been doing. We have been actively seeking local endorsements, and I'm pleased to announce that just the other day we received the endorsement from all three public safety unions in the city, the Fire Department Union and the Police Department Patrolman and Superior Officers Union. These are folks that are out there in the trenches every day protecting our safety, and I'm very pleased and honored to have their support. There'll be some additional endorsements that we'll be announcing in the next week or so. We're planning a fundraiser for the 27th, which will be our last fundraiser of the campaign. This campaign has taken on quite an expensive tone, quite frankly. So both my opponent and I have raised well over $100,000, which is unfortunately what's necessary to get your message out these days. So we will be having one more fundraiser coming up. And the other thing that we're doing is preparing for the debate, which will be on the 26th at the Hawthorne Hotel between 6 and 7:30, sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. So we've been very busy. My campaign staff has been phone banking doing standouts and identifying potential supporters very consistently over the last several weeks, and we will continue to do that going forward. So all aspects of the campaign are in full gear, but I've been able to make, thanks to some of the vacation time that I have, more concerted effort to be in the community during the day. Unlike my opponent, who has the luxury of being able to do this full-time, I have to work in my job as the town manager of Salisbury, so I'm commuting to Salisbury each and every day, work day, and trying to find some time around the edges now where I can get back into Salem and do some more campaigning. But that will pick up as it has since the preliminary and will continue between now and the final.
All right. So I had one issue that I wanted to talk with the candidates about, and I know that, again, in that forum that you just mentioned, you're going to get hit with all kinds of issues, I'm sure, or questions, as you were before in that primary forum held over at Salem State. But so mine's on the offshore wind farm that will be developed out of Salem, which has a lot of pluses. There's no doubt about it. But I've also been reading some things too about some environmental concerns with those wind farms, you know, further out at sea, and some of the damage to bird life, marine life, or whatever. What are you hearing from people and from in for the residents of Salem on the wind farm project? Obviously, many, many pluses. I get that.
Yeah, so I'm certainly no expert on any potential harmful effects that offshore wind may have on marine life. But I do listen very carefully to what the concerns are of people in the neighborhood, the Derby Street neighborhood, in the Willows neighborhood. The city and Crowley are working on what's called a community benefits agreement. And I know there are some groups locally that are very concerned about being involved in that process. So that's important to stay on top of. The timing of this is sort of interesting because all these things are happening as the campaign is going on, so the next mayor is going to sort of have to hit the ground running. I have met with the Crowley folks, and I have been briefed about their timeline and what they hope to accomplish. Mayor Bob McCarthy has been kind enough to keep both myself and my opponent up to speed weekly, getting phone calls from Mayor Bob about developments going on in the various negotiations relative to the use of the property here in Salem. There may be what's called a tax increment financing plan that might need to go to the city council at some point. So it's a very complex thing. But the larger goal is one that I support, and I think most people in the community support, which is to help play a pivotal role in the development of clean energy with offshore wind, the so-called blue economy. Salem is uniquely positioned because it's the it's the deep water port that has the least obstructions, so it's able to transport the materials that need to be brought out to these wind farms directly. So there are good paying jobs that are going to be created from this development. It will be a long-term, I believe, sustainable type of industry that over time will develop and mature and change so that the various wind farms and the turbines, I'm sure, will be updated, and it will always be a continual need for those types of materials to be assembled and transported out. So Salem is looking at a long-term future involvement in this project. So as I mentioned before, this is all happening as we're getting into the final throes of the campaign, but the timing is such that both with the private sector and with the state's going to be heavily involved in this project as well. Whoever becomes the next mayor is really going to have to hit the ground running and learn very quickly all of the things that are now being discussed in the various negotiations.
Neil Harrington is with us, again, candidate for mayor, City of Salem. And we've asked the candidates to provide a couple of their own issues that they think are important that they would like to share their thoughts on these interviews this week. So first up for you, Neil, was your suggestion to discuss public meeting access. So give us an update on your take on public meeting access.
As I go door to door in the various neighborhoods of the city, this issue comes up quite frequently. As you know, during COVID, most communities went to completely remote meetings, which were held via Zoom. And in Salem, that practice has continued. Virtually all of the meetings, there are a few small committees that meet in person or on a hybrid basis in which you can attend in person but also attend via Zoom. However, Salem has almost all of its boards and commissions, and certainly the major ones, still completely meeting remotely with no public access other than if you get onto your computer. And I think this is a problem. I really think we should go back to in-person meetings or at the very least hybrid meetings, in which a majority of the members of any board or commission need to be physically present so that people who have concerns about how a project may affect their neighborhood are able to physically go to a board meeting, express those concerns in person to members of the board who are there rather than simply log on to Zoom. We are now past COVID. We're now past the point where we need to physically isolate ourselves from the community. And I think we need to change this remote system back to an in-person system so that the people and the members of these boards who are making these decisions are not isolated from the people who are affected by these decisions. And there's something very personal and direct about being in a meeting when you are listening to someone make a presentation on behalf of a development project or listening to a board member ask a question, and if there is an opportunity for the public to comment, to be there personally and to be able to face the attorneys for the developers or the representatives for whatever project might be before a board and be able to question them directly rather than allowing them the luxury of sitting behind their desk at their office and only answering you via Zoom. So I think all of the boards and commissions need to go back to in-person meetings, or at the very least a hybrid option where a majority of the board members should be present, but others, for a variety of reasons, some board members, of course, have, you know, young children, or they might be traveling for business, and so a hybrid option might work, you know, for a minority of board members, but a majority of the board members should be back in person, meeting and engaging with the public.
You know, you bring up that interesting point, because I think if you look to the south of Salem, the city of Lynn, I think, is doing all in-person meetings. And I think to the north, Beverly is also doing in-person council meetings and so on. And but I do know there are some towns that are still doing the Zoom, you know, selectman or select board type meetings. But a lot are coming back in person for sure. And at least, or as you suggest, in-person / hybrid kind of model.
Yes, and I hear that from a lot of people throughout the city when I'm campaigning door to door. And I believe that the next mayor, certainly if I'm elected, I intend to go back to in-person meetings.
All right, Neil. The last issue here would be parking. Obviously, I don't know where you go with this, but clearly an issue for the city of Salem and for Salem residents as well as not just visitors. So, tell us about your thoughts on parking.
Well, I have a couple of specific points that I wanted to make, Bill, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so. There are lots of things relating to parking policies that affect the quality of life of people throughout the city, and I'll just mention a couple. In the last year or so, for reasons that I don't quite understand, the city adopted ordinances for paid parking on Sunday afternoons in the downtown. Now, I've lived in Salem my entire life, and there has, to the best of my recollection, never been paid parking on Sunday afternoons in downtown. Now, if you go downtown, it's you have to pay to park between noon and 6 p.m. I just think that's wrong. I think it's somewhat of a slap in the face to local residents who for many years have been used to going downtown on a Sunday to go to a restaurant or perhaps do some shopping or visit people they know that lives downtown. And now they've got to feed meters or you know, pay with the app. I just don't think that's right. I think the amount of money generated doesn't justify that change in policy. So I think we should go back to free parking on Sunday afternoons downtown. The other thing that I hear from people that have expressed concern relative to parking is you now have to pay to park at Forest River Park. Forest River is a public park. It has been renovated beautifully by the Driscoll administration. They've done a great job, but now you have to pay to park there. And just philosophically, my point of view is that parks should be free and open to the public, and you should not have to pay to go down there with your kids to play on the playground equipment or even to use the pool. I mean, for example, since the new pool has been opened, you have to pay to get a membership to be able to swim in the pool. Now, if you're a taxpayer in Salem, you've already paid for the pool through the borrowing that's being used to pay off the debt for the pool. So you're not only paying for the pool, you then have to pay to use the pool. And if you're a Salem resident and you have kids particularly, I don't understand why you should have to pay to use the pool that was built with public money if you're already paying for the construction of the pool. So those types of parking policies that I hear people talk about are relatively small things, but they do affect the quality of life, and they create some sort of an unwelcoming atmosphere for people who simply will either want to go downtown on a Sunday afternoon or visit Forest River Park. Yeah. So those are just a couple of parking policy issues that I hear about and I feel should be changed.
Right. Well, Neil Harrington, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And again, we like to hear from the candidates directly to, you know, let their voice be heard for the voters, for the residents of the North Shore, and of course, in particular to Salem. So, Neil, thanks so much for your time. We really do appreciate it. And we'll be checking back with you soon, certainly by that forum coming up later this month. So thanks so much for your time.
Great, Bill. You're very welcome.
Neil Harrington, candidate for mayor, former mayor of Salem as well, here on MSONewsSports.com.